Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. I'm beyond excited about this new episode. Our co-host today is actually one of the key podcasts that I've been consistently listening to for over 2 years now. Definitely one of the influencers in my life professionally, as well as health, fitness, and everything else. You're going to hear all about that on today's show. But this gentleman has built a brand now recently, really behind his name. This is a name that's actually very, very popular in California as far as my experience goes. But now it's gotten a lot bigger. He's been on shows like Adam Carolla. Everybody knows that guy's name. He's actually created his own vitamin company. We're going to talk about that because I actually buy those vitamins as well. But also, if you've ever heard of the intro, outro on this show for Live the Fuel, Anna Vocino did that. She's one of the co-hosts. And more recently, his co-founder of the company Pure Vitamin Club has also been on this show. So it's about time we get around to bringing on this gentleman today. Please welcome an author as well, Vinny Todorich.
Hello. Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me on, man.
Hey, man. I'm just excited to have you on, man. I have a feeling that our attitudes and our personalities are going to make for a very entertaining episode.
I think it will. It was fun. We were chatting off the air. Like we literally did a whole show before we hotted up the mics, as Serena would say.
Oh, another new term. I like that.
Yeah, I'm going to hot it up. It felt good. And the one thing I forgot to tell you off the air, so I guess I'll tell you on the air, is I want to apologize because we were supposed to do this yesterday, and all of a sudden something came up, and I wasn't able to. And I'm glad you had the time and allowed me to change it by one day to do it today.
Well, one thing I've learned over the years is that the people who choose to embrace change are the ones that will actually succeed.
Wow, man, you just blew my mind. and by the way, you know, and I don't even have to say this part, but nothing. Are you interested in knowing what I did instead of your podcast?
Exactly. Remember, you're a co-host here today, man. So like, You could talk about whatever the hell you want. I mean, we're sharing this show. It's not me interviewing you. I want us to just have a blast and learn more about you, obviously, for the audience. So.
Oh, in that case, I was off doing blow off of a hooker's ass, and that was my busy day. No, what happened was. I noticed sound, and this is going to sound, people will tune out after I tell you this. They're going to go, screw that guy. Or I don't even like him anymore.
Well, at least you're real.
But I bought a car a while back. And you mentioned my buddy Adam Carolla. I bought a car and I ordered it from the factory because I wanted it exactly the way I wanted it because I didn't need this car. This wasn't a need. I have a car. It was a want. And so I bought the car, and the car came in about a month ago. The reason I brought up Adam Carolla is because he loves cars. And on the day I ordered the car, it was a red carpet event for his. He puts out documentaries and such. He makes movies.
Oh yeah,
you want to talk about a guy? You want to talk about rags to riches and bootstraps and doing it yourself? You know, we were talking off the air. You kind of follow my steps. I'm literally following his steps, and I didn't even know him before we became buddies about a year ago, a little over a year ago. But I was I ordered a car on the same day that I went to see his movie, The 24-Hour War, about Ford and Ferrari and the war they had in the 1960s to win the 24 Hours of Le Mans. On that day, I ordered a car, and then the car came in, and the car dealership kept calling me, going, hey, are you coming to get your car? And I'm like, yeah, I'm coming. When? And I'm like, when I have time.
When I get around it.
Yeah. Well, when will that be? Because I think when most people buy a car, well, if you need a car, and this goes to needs and wants throughout your life, right?
Yep.
If you need a car, you will find time that day to go get said car. If the car was a want, which means you already have basic transportation, you don't need to go get the car that day.
No, it's an extra thing.
Yeah, so 2 weeks passed, and then 3 weeks passed, and then a whole month passed.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And the guy was like, I said to him, I said, look, I'm coming on Saturday, meaning today. I was going to go get the car. And my buddy, Scott, who's also Tallulah's real dad. Tallulah is my stepdaughter for your audience.
Yep. We hear about her a lot on your Fitness Confidential show. So
yeah, she comes up quite often. And Tallulah's dad was going to give me a ride down there to go get my car because it's literally about 60 miles down the freeway in Costa Mesa, down south of here. The problem is that could take hours and hours, you know, because of traffic and everything else.
Oh, no. California doesn't have traffic.
Oh, my God. No. It's the roads are paved with gold and, you know, angels will, you know, lick your balls as you go down the road. It's great. No, you can literally spend hours and hours and hours in traffic here. And Scott was doing me a huge favor, and he was supposed to do it on Saturday, but something came up for him. And I looked around and I looked at yesterday, you know, right when he goes, look, can you go today? And I had three or four things I had to cancel, including this podcast, because I couldn't ask the Chevy dealership to hang on to my car for another week. They were like sitting there going, look, we're paying money on this car. I had a gift horse in Scott who was willing to give me a ride. And I was like, well, you know what? Everyone else can wait. And I thought I would be back for 6 o'clock. But then I thought, man, if the traffic is bad coming back, there is no way. And in fact, I didn't get back until 7. So thank you for, number one, letting me give this long, drawn out story. Number one. And number two, thank you for letting me change it.
I mean, life happens. I mean, I since I know a lot of your backstory and hopefully some of my audience does because I've been talking about you and you're actually on your show is listed in my e-guide that I let people download when they, you know, get on my email list on the website, because obviously not just your podcast, but also your book, Fitness Confidential. So, but part of, since I've actually bought your book, I pretty much buy everything you guys talk about on the show. The part of the backstory here is that this car has actually been a long time coming. Right, you used to have a very nice car for other reasons, and then a life-changing experience kind of stepped in, which triggered that shift, correct?
Yeah, I think I talked about it on a podcast. And I'm guessing that's where you got this from?
Yeah, maybe one or two.
Okay. Yeah, I was doing quite well financially in 2007. And this is, I guess, a story that people can take or not take or go, oh, fuck that guy. You know. By the way, do you curse on your show?
I don't care. There's no editing.
Okay.
This is real. We're transparent. No. Yeah, it's all right.
So in 2007, I was clipping along. Life was beautiful. And I got diagnosed. I was in the middle of training for a big, you know, 500-mile ultra cycling race, and I was diagnosed with leukemia, and I had to set off to, you know, save my life, basically. And by the way, you don't get to make a choice with leukemia. Leukemia makes the choice for you. Your body is just a host to, number one, the cancer, and number two, the chemical that is hopefully going to kill the cancer. You know, and I know a lot of people get spiritual and a lot of people start eating a certain way and all this stuff. I just looked at it from, you know, okay, I'm hosting an event. I might as well be Madison Square Garden. I might as well be the Forum. I might as well be, you name the venue, because I'm just hosting an event. And that's the way I looked at it. Well, I was able to win. I won. The chemicals won out, so I got to live. But as it turns out, even if you have great insurance, cancer could cost a bit. And I didn't find that out until much later, because my insurance was supposed to cover everything except $1,000 deductible. So after cancer, I went back to work, and I was making the same kind of good money I was always making, working with the Hollywood community. And the next thing you know, you know, and during that time, since I beat cancer, I bought a car. And I bought a red Corvette, just like the song says, little red Corvette. And I know some people go, Jesus Christ, those cars suck. And other people go, oh, my God, this is my dream car. I don't care where you fall on the Corvette spectrum. I love them. This was my, the one I bought in 2008 was my third Corvette. I had had a 65, a 78. Of course, not when they were new. Both of those were used cars because in the 65 I got in the 80s.
Right.
And this was my third one. And it was my first new one. And for me, it was very expensive. And it was a second car, which is a greater expense. And soon after I got that car, I learned two things. I learned that the insurance company was sticking me with some of the bill, which was crazy. I was like, wait a minute. I have, and they said, well, you can fight us. Go get an attorney and fight us. Good luck with that. The attorney would cost me more than what I owed him, which was a lot of money. And the other side was we had a writer's strike here in L.A. Now, when you work in the industry, when the industry goes on strike, everything shuts down, including, you know, the guy who makes his money. You know, I was what they were calling collateral damage.
Yeah, because you're getting paid by them getting paid. You're training the stars.
Right. And by the way, there are more collateral damage people in the city than there are actual people doing the job, right?
Okay.
Because for every actor, they're cameramen, they're key grips, they're gophers, they're, you know, this and that. And then outside of that, there are people like me who get directly paid by the actor. You know, they're trainers, they're masseuses, they're, you know, some of them have swamis and, you know, gurus of all sorts, you know, and we all make a living. And then our living, you know, look, I have a house, I pay a mortgage, I have a lady that comes and cleans my house, I have a gardener. So we, you know, on down the line, if that does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the money keeps, it doesn't stop here. I'm a consumer. I have people working for me and they have families to feed. And when Hollywood goes on strike, we are all on strike, right? And here I am finding out after I bought this car, because I had money at the time, I found out that cancer was going to hit me for a lot of money. And now I wasn't making money. And I looked at my brand new car. It still smelled new. It had 4,000 or less miles on it, if I remember right. And I had to sell it. I didn't have to really sell it at the time, but it's a good thing I did, because by the end of 2008, the economy went into the dumper. So everything was bleak.
Was not a fun year.
Yeah, from 07 when I started with cancer and then the writer strike and then on the heels of that, the end of 08, I'm a guy who from the time I was in college when I started my training career, for the first time in my life, I was literally going, well, I wonder if I could get a job at a car dealership or maybe at a Starbucks. And I'm not kidding. Serena said you should go and maybe get a job as a PE teacher in a school. And I had to explain to her, and this is going to sound douchebaggery, but I said, honey, one client per day is more than I would make as a PE teacher in a school.
True.
And, you know, at the same time, I was selling off everything. You know, I had motorcycles and stuff like that. I had toys. So please don't cry for me.
Well, no, I think that's an important point, though, you're bringing up here, is a lot of us are like, it's okay to have possessions, especially if you've worked hard for them. And those are rewards, as long as you don't have like loans on all of them either, because that's a whole different financial mistake there. But then also, you know, shit happens, life happens. And again, they're just possessions. So you chose to get rid of them.
I'm glad you brought that up, because in Hollywood, where I live, small loans are not a problem. The place I have a problem is what I call rent-a-life. I know people who make $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month, and they're driving like a Rolls Royce or like a BMW, you know, Alpina 7 and stuff like this. And, you know, they're renting all that stuff. All that stuff is on lease, and they can't even buy their house because they're living, you know, they'll spend you know, $10,000, $12,000 a month on a mortgage, on rental, but they won't pay a mortgage because they never accumulate enough money to put a down payment down on anything.
No, they give into that keeping up with the Joneses at an exponential level because of LA and right. all that. So,
exactly. And so I was never that guy. If I could afford a motorcycle, I would buy it. If I could afford a Corvette or whatever I wanted, I would buy it. Right. And so I started looking around going, well, none of this stuff is worth anything to me. And I'm in love with this woman. And I want to make sure that we have money for, you know, the mortgage. And, you know, I don't want Maria to have to go away because, you know, there were things that were more important to me. You know, the guy who does my yard counts on my money every month. The guy, Maria, who cleans my house. Well, Maria is now long gone. We have, I think her name is Emelina. Oh, geez. I can't remember her name. Anyway, what's her name? Oh, I'm going to drive myself nuts now.
That's okay. It's one of those things where if you forget about it for like 5 minutes, it'll pop in later.
Her name is Elena, and okay. She's very sweet. And one day I shall learn Spanish so that I can speak to this one. But these people count on us. And I'm always painfully aware of that. And it meant more to me to be able to hang on to those people because God only knows I can wash my own clothes and clean my own house and do my own yard work. But what about those guys who have families?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I chose to get rid of everything else, motorcycles and toys and, you know, no more ski trips for me and all that kind of stuff. And life got pretty sparse for a while, you know, and.
Well, you're also in the middle of trying to save your life.
Right. And I had found out I was now cancer free and I was going to live and all that kind of stuff. And I paid off the insurance company every dime that they didn't deserve. And I paid off every doctor bill that they did deserve that the insurance company wouldn't pay and all this kind of stuff. But there wasn't a lot of money left around. And the book came about in the midst of that because my buddy Dean Laurie, who is in Hollywood, he's a pretty
well-known
big
name. Yeah.
Yeah. He's, you can, his resume is almost like a joke if we started reading it off, you know.
Yeah, real quick, how did you guys get connected? Were you training him? Because I never heard that on any of the episodes. I always wondered how you guys got connected.
Yeah, he hired me as a trainer. You know, when you train actors and you do a good job, then the producers and directors, they go, wait, maybe this guy can work that magic on me. And that's how Dean and I met. I generally don't become friends with a lot of the people I train, but Dean became like a brother to me. You know, we think alike. Our politics are very similar and our belief system. We both grew up very, very middle class. And we don't believe in just, you know, squandering money and that kind of thing. Like he and I would have a rent-a-life conversation. Or, can you believe that, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how Dean and I came about. But he hated me as his trainer. Mainly because he hated working out. So when I got cancer, Dean looked at it as, oh, my God, this is heaven sent. Vinny's going to die, so I don't have to fire him.
Oh, my God.
That was the thought pattern. And that whole thing was surreal. I talked about it a little bit in the book, but I found out on a Saturday that literally they said, you have months to live. And I said, what stage am I in? And they said, we can't give it a stage because it's beyond stage. We don't know how you're walking around, to be honest with you. It was that kind of.
That's pretty. I mean, so that's like beyond stage four or whatever people talk about. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was deep space four.
Wow.
A stage. Yeah. You know.
A little Star Trek there.
Yeah. And I'm not even a Trekkie. I just know that phrase.
Yeah.
So they said you had to go on chemo right away. So by the time, you know, they put a PICC line in me that was going to deliver the poison into my system. So that's all my clients knew. I wasn't kidding. When I walked in, I never called anyone. I walked into their houses to give them their last workout. And I said, look, you know, here's this thing. You see this line. They're like looking at it as if it's some kind of prosthetic. It's like, wait a minute, that thing is just in your arm going into your chest. I went, yeah, it's a PICC line. And You know, and they no one could wrap their mind around this.
I've never seen this. That's like a portable device that's kind of like you're mounted or strapped to you, and it's got a slow trickle type of dosage, right?
Yeah, they you know, so they don't have to hook you to an IV because there was so much chemo that was going to go in. They just hook a line to that, to a line that's like a spigot that's already been inserted into your body.
It's crazy.
Some people have the chest portal. I have what was called the PIC line that goes through a vein in your arm into your chest cavity.
That's because you're going so often that they just got to leave a regular tap access in there.
Oh, I was hooked up to a thing that squirted chemo into me 24 hours a day.
Wow.
It was crazy. So Dean and I, he goes, well, look, obviously we're not going to work out today. He seemed to be more shaken than I was. And so we took a walk, and we talked about that walk in the book. He goes, well, geez, when you die, I can write a movie about you. And I said, well, why would I be interesting? He goes, well, on the surface, you're not really that interesting, but you've worked with a lot of interesting people. So I can do a story about how this guy from the Bayou ended up working with these really interesting people and probably turn it into a movie. We're having this conversation while I'm explaining to him that I might not be able to live much longer. You know, he was trying to bring, you know, humor to it. And we started laughing about it. And he said, he goes, well, I know who's going to play you in the movie. And I said, well, who? And he said, what's the really good looking actor? The guy who played my left foot. I can't remember his name right now.
Somebody who looked better than us, I guess.
Oh, God. He played Lincoln. Come on, help me out here. I hate when I do this.
I'm terrible at movies, man. I hate watching television. Mm. I'm not somebody that L.A. will try and sell to.
Anyway, he said that he goes, you know, he brings up this really good-looking guy who's won awards and everything. And I said, you can't do better than that. And he goes, how can you do better than that? You know, we're having that conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just became, it was like the only lighthearted conversation I think I had around that time.
Well, I think he was just trying to get you to change your mind to a different subject, even though it is kind of weird talking about you in death creating a movie, but.
Yeah, I got this line going into my body. And, you know, so one thing leads to another, and I ended up living. And Dean started saying to me, you should write a book. And I was like, yeah, everybody should write a book. And he goes, yeah, but you can add cancer in there and you can add this and that. And you could just add it all in there and talk about fitness and how you got Hollywood in shape over the years. And he mentioned it enough times to where I just finally said, okay, what do I do? And he said, I want you to start writing notes. And he came over to my house because I don't really know how to use a computer. And he set up a Word document thingy. And is that making sense?
Yep. Well, for you to start writing, basically.
Yeah, so he said, just put notes in here, and then after you get a bunch of notes, do this, put it in an email, and send them to me. So when I was riding around to my clients, I would, if I thought of something, I would jot it down on an envelope or anything I had in my truck. And then when I would get home, I would take that and I would jot it into, you know, notes, and then I would send them to Dean. And little did I know, Dean was organizing these notes. And we were having scotch one night, and he goes, you know, you've written like 42,000 words in notes.
Wow.
And I said, well, what does that mean? He said, you've written a book worth of notes. We can write 5 books from the notes you've written. And I said, okay. And he goes, why don't you come to my house tomorrow? We'll start plowing through the notes and seeing what we can do. And we walked, we met for 3 hours every day for 6 months. And we plowed through every note. And that book became Fitness Confidential.
And now you got to obviously have a physical version. You've got the digital version on Audible, because that's what I've just become more of an Audible guy. I can't sit down and just physically read a book anymore.
Well, you know, the whole thing was when the book was written, and if I could go back a bit.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
After the book was written, Dean took it over to William Morris. Now, to the rest of the world, William Morris is the world's biggest agency. It's the most powerful Hollywood agency there is. They have Dean as a client. They have, you name it. You know, you name it, and they're at William Morris. The Rock, I'm pretty sure, is at William Morris. Schwarzenegger, you go through it. You know, they're all at William Morris. Any high profile writer, Seth MacFarlane, people like that, they're all at William Morris. If not CAA, which is the other big one. So, William Morris, the agent over there, said, you know, we know who Vinny is because he's been working with our clients for years. But we had our assistants do a Google search, and he doesn't exist on the internet. And we can't sell a book unless he existed on the internet. So Dean called me and said, you need to exist on the internet. And I said, well, what does that mean? He goes, I don't know, but you have to figure out a way to make yourself popular on the internet.
Brand building.
Yeah. And I'm a fitness trainer. And by the way, I was making money, but I wasn't coming out from under. I was bill after bill after bill trying to get out of it. You know, cancer could just cost you forever. I'm sure this is not how you thought the podcast would go, but
hey, I don't care, man. Like I said, we're just rolling with it. We don't know where it's going to go. That's the best part.
Well, we're in the middle of this now, so I might as well continue. And so he says, you got to get popular on the internet. And I said, he goes, you got to go viral. And I had just watched, I'm going to name drop here, Howie Mandel's son, Alex Mandel, had just shown me a video of a girl who called herself Jenna Marbles. And showed me how this girl went viral by doing a 2-minute video sitting on the edge of her bed in a bikini.
Okay.
And the whole idea back then was Jenna bought this new bikini and she was very proud of it. And she was going to go to spring break. But for whatever reason, she couldn't make it to spring break. But she wanted to wear her bikini. So there's this kind of innocent, almost sexy young girl sitting on the edge of her bed in this kind of messy room. Who is now, you know, just doing this thing, right?
Right.
So, I said to Dean, I said, "What am I supposed to put a bikini on and sit on the edge of my bed? And you know, how do you become viral? Or do you want me to duct tape a squirrel to a set of water skis and get him to ski? I mean." When I thought viral videos or viral anything, that's what I knew back in at that time.
A lot of people hear the word viral video. They're thinking like something weird that somebody decided to just drop their self-respect for and just do some weird crap online.
Well, look, I'm still confused by it. There was one called Chewbacca Mom recently that came to my attention. It was the dumbest thing I'd ever seen. You know, it was this woman with... from what I could tell, limited intelligence, I could be wrong, who bought a Chewbacca mask and put it on and laughed. And, you know, from the driver's seat of her car and laughed hysterically at having this mask on her face. Are you even familiar with what I'm talking about?
I actually, now that you're talking about it, I think I've actually seen that stupid thing. And unfortunately, my click and my watch probably contributed to her crazy growth.
Yeah, like 30, 40 million people or whatever. And that's what goes viral. So my words to Dean was, how does a almost 50-year-old Italian guy go viral? And he goes, I don't know, pal. You figure it out or we don't have a book to sell.
Oh, man.
And, you know, that's how Dean's Italian. That's how Italians talk to each other. You know, go get it done, you know. So I was talking to my nephew, and my nephew said, why don't you start a podcast? And after me asking 20 minutes of questions on what's a podcast, he literally said, look, you did a radio show back in the 80s in New Orleans. He goes, I was a young kid at the time, but I remember everyone telling me how popular it was, and we love your uncle on radio and the whole thing. It's basically radio. He goes, you already have a heads up because you know how to broadcast. And he goes, to be honest with you, outside of Adam Carolla, who's now a buddy of mine, and Joe Rogan, no one else knows how to really broadcast in podcasting right now, which at the time was true. You know,
Okay.
No one was really podcasting that
much. No, I mean, it's been around longer than I thought, but it's everything has started. You got in early, I guess you want to say it that way.
Yeah, it started maybe 3 or 4 years before me or something like that, but I've been in for 4.5 years. And, you know, that, you know, a lot of people had podcasts, but, you know, how do you even get anyone to listen? And I certainly wasn't going to put money behind it because no one can tell me where to put the money, you know, in order to build an audience.
Right.
So, kind of like the book where we wrote the book as if no one would read it, I convinced Anna, who's been on your show, to co-host a few of them with me. She's still co-hosting the Monday show after 4.5 years.
I know, right? It looks like she got hooked.
And has written a great cookbook, Eat Happy, around becoming a thing on the show. Now, the biggest question I get asked, I'm interviewed on a daily basis. I don't think most people know that, but I get interviewed, let's call it 8-10 times a week.
Okay.
On podcasts, on blogs, on regular media, you name it, I'm interviewed. And most of it is business shows and how to make money shows. It's not as much fitness as anything else, right? And the big question is, you know, how do you create the magic? And I'm always telling these people, I wish I can tell you guys because I don't know. I really, really don't know how this happens. Does that make sense?
No, I mean, you don't have to. That's the best part. I mean, a lot of people, I think we spend so much time trying to dive through stuff and figure stuff out. It's like, you know what? If it's working, just keep doing that until it's not working. And then eventually, if you get successful enough, you bring on somebody that can actually help you figure out those details and they can do it for you.
Yeah, look, at first, we didn't even know how many people were paying attention. A woman came to me. Her last name was Agapian. I can't remember her first name. But she was working for Corolla at the time, and she was looking. She goes, hey, you're making waves out there. I've heard of you. How many downloads do you have? And I literally said to her, what's a download?
I love it.
And how do you – I said, iTunes won't give us that kind of information. We don't know how many people are listening. And she introduced me to Libsyn and said, they will do the counting for you. And we were shocked at first as to how many people were listening, because if you hear those early shows with me and Anna, we did shows where we would spend the whole show talking about every derogatory term we've ever heard for vagina.
Yep.
Literally, that was the show. And sometimes I would just yell the entire time because we would learn things like, you know, there was this woman, Nutella Mom, who was feeding her kid Nutella every morning.
Just crap.
And thought it was a health food. So now she was suing Nutella because she didn't know it was bad for your health.
That's like the person who sued McDonald's years ago. Remember that famous case because they got burned by the coffee?
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, you ordered a black coffee with nothing else added into it. Hot. Like, what the hell do you expect? You don't just start drinking it right away.
Right. Right. I mean, if you're not, if you don't have the good sense to know how to drink a hot beverage, maybe you shouldn't be driving even.
Oh,
because if I remember right, that person got it at the drive-through window and then promptly spilled it in their lap.
Yeah. It was a whole thing.
So yeah, if coffee is a step too far, I don't think driving is going to be your thing either. I'm just taking a wild guess. Right. So she was, you know, we went and I called Anna up and I said, look, I got this Libsyn thing and we have a lot of people paying attention to this. And she was like, I know we have people giving us reviews on iTunes and this and that. And we had no idea, that the show was becoming what it was becoming. And we had no idea that it would literally grow to the size that it's grown to, you know, but
that just proves that something's working, right? The messaging is working. That's the beauty of how simple marketing can be. Like, it was funny when you and I were talked before this episode started, you asked like, oh, well, you being a marketing guy, like, well, how am I doing? And I'm like, the best way to evaluate somebody's success is to see literally how they're doing. Like, go look, not just their downloads, but look at your following. I mean, you have a very strong Twitter following. You know, you're not as active on Facebook, but you still have you're a member of a group on Facebook that somebody else created in honor of what you've been doing. And there's thousands of people in it. I'm in it as well. And it's like, really? And I can't remember the top of my head. It's like Finney Todorich, no sugars, no grains, because that's a big lifestyle message that I also live by as well. I'm just blanking on the exact name of the group right now. I'm going to bring it up here while we're talking.
I think that is the actual name. It's called Vinny Todorich's No Sugars, No Grains.
No sugar, singular, no grains. Yes. So if people are listening, and this will be in the show notes to our listeners, I always put very detailed show notes up so you guys can find this stuff later. Don't worry about, put the pen down and just listen.
Yeah, it's funny. The group has like 10 or 11 or 12,000 people.
Oh, no. You now have 11,908 people following your messaging.
Right. I don't. They do.
Well, they do.
And I'm one of those members, just like anyone else. And as a matter of fact, sometimes I read, I don't, you know, because I'll say something and people are like, who are you again? And say, look at my name. I'm the guy.
That's actually Vinny.
Yeah, this is the guy. And some people will literally ask a question and somebody else will say, and you can attest to this. They'll say, well, why don't you listen to his podcast? And they'll go, he has a podcast?
Oh yeah, it's hilarious. I mean, this is another, again, little marketing and business crap there, but it's like, you don't have to exist everywhere, but one of the advantages of existing in multiple areas is you could just have a viral Facebook following. The Twitter people may not even be in that group. And then you could just have a whole different segment of podcast listeners who never get around to liking or following you on Twitter or Facebook. It's hilarious.
Absolutely. There are people who have read my book and they've never heard the podcast and didn't know. And by the way, there are people who, like on Twitter, they'll go, hey, I just figured out you're the guy who created NSNG, which is, you know, no sugars, no grains. Yep. NSNG. And I'll go, yeah. And they'll go, oh, my God, you're the actual guy. And I'm like, yeah. And they'll go, yeah, I've been following it for years. And I'm like, yeah, an actual human being came up with that and got his attorney to get that.
And the beauty of that, not to distract the conversation, but really focus on that, because this is something that I wanted to make sure it came up today anyway, so I'm glad it naturally started moving this way, is that no sugars, no grains. When I tell this to people and what I do, they think I'm crazy. When I tell people that I now, thanks to your show, order olive oil to our boy, Paul Capelli from Villa Capelli. There's a little plug. I don't get paid for it. Just like originally how you started off, you weren't getting paid for it either. You just loved their olive oil. I did it this morning. I wake up, I did my morning little, you know, I know you're not a big fan of shakes, but I did my little shake before I went for a workout. But I grabbed my olive oil bottle because I ordered the 3-liter tin and I ordered the glass bottle because I just like how the glass bottle looks with the stuff on it. And I do shots right out of the bottle. I just grab the bottle, pop it. I've actually posted that to Instagram, and Paul Capelli was actually, he follows me now, and he was sharing that to his audience.
I do it on stage whenever I do the live shows. I bring the 3-liter can up there and I pour it into a shot glass and drink it on stage. People think I'm kidding that I drink olive oil, but I do, and I love that olive oil. It's really good stuff. And
the biggest thing is that it's a source of healthy fats. One of the biggest things I preach to people is cut the excess sugar. We can really dive in a whole episode on that. But it's like you need to increase your healthy fat sources, because over the past 15 to 20 years, due to incorrect marketing, people have cut so much healthy fat sources out of their diet. This is one of the biggest problems we're having here, and especially here in the USA.
Well, look, people say, I see it on Twitter all the time. They'll go, hey, is NSNG healthy for my 15-year-old? And I'll write back, well, let's see, telling them to eat red meat, fish, chicken, and any vegetable they want to eat, can that possibly be healthy for a 15-year-old? Let's see.
Or the incredible edible egg.
Right. You know, cheese, eggs, you know, dairy products, meat, you know, vegetables. Is that fruit? Is that healthy for your kid? Now, let me think about that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's fitting. I don't know, man. They're whole. They haven't been processed. I mean, I think, don't we have to process them to make them healthier?
Well, your stomach can't possibly digest something that's not processed.
I don't know, man. It's too real.
I mean, what are we doing here? And someone, you know, the other one I get is, you know, the naysayers who want to think that there's other people who just want to see you drown or blow up, and they'll go, so how are you different from Atkins? Isn't it the same thing? And I'll say, no, the difference between me and Atkins is they're trying to sell you a crappy chocolate bar calling it healthy, and I'm not. I have nothing to sell. As a matter of fact, you mentioned early on my vitamin company.
Oh, yeah. Pure Vitamin Club, baby.
Heard me, purevitaminclub.com. Have you ever heard me say ever anywhere in media, hey, in order for you to utilize this diet, you must take purevitaminclub.com?
Nope.
No, never.
No.
And that will never be said.
And I have, for our listeners, Pure Vitamin Club is linked on my resources page. So when they go to livethefuel.com, they go to the resources section. That's how much I believe in his product. And I've been an Isagenix nutritional supplement guy since my firefighting in 2010. So that's a big line. That's a big product line that literally is one of my side businesses. But when I see a product being designed and built right, I am happy to put my name behind that. So your logo and that connection, you know, through my site is up there because I am proud to be an affiliate of Pure Vitamin Club. And the funny thing was, quick backstory on that for you, Vinny, is that I didn't even buy them for myself. I bought them for my girlfriend because I've been trying to hack her. She's got really poor sleep habits because she's a equine vet, so she's a horse doctor. And you know, yeah, when they work for themselves, they're running a business. You're on call, so. I mean, I don't even know about the sleep science behind it, but I'm sure she never probably gets to a proper REM sleep cycle because she's programmed her brain to always be listening for the phone, you know, in the middle of the night. So it's like, if I can at least start getting the right essential nutrients back into her diet, she's not a full-blown NSNG follower like me. I'm crazy. She likes her bread. I'm not going to get into that. But okay, let's find something, right, to start hacking this and trying to at least start helping her in other areas because I care about her and I want to see her, you know, live a healthier life with me. So magnesium was where it was at. Yeah. That's where it started.
and nobody, you know, and look, I can say this with complete confidence. I know Andy's been on the show. Nobody comes close to my magnesium. I know this makes me sound a little bit like Donald Trump.
Dude,
I
preach it, man. Go ahead.
Magnesium, yeah. But nobody's putting four different types of magnesium into one capsule.
Without fillers.
And then there's fillers on top of that and everything else. You know, that's my favorite product out of the two that I have out right now. And, you know, I don't miss a night. I take one in the morning. I take one at night. Although it's only prescribed to take one a day.
But, yeah, you know, I'm doing the one a day cycle. So,
yeah, which is perfectly fine. I sweat a lot and the whole thing. And, you know, so I'll take two a day. And there's a lot of ultra athletes who take it twice a day. And that's fine. But it's recommended once a day. It's all you need.
Well, and a quick note on that, on the lifestyle difference. I mean, you are, along with what you just mentioned, these ultra athletes, ultra marathoning, ultra cycling, whatever you want to look at, you're at a much different performance level daily. So kind of like a little hint there where you said about sweating and everything else. Like, obviously, if your body is processing that much more fuel, nutrition, your vitamin sources, everything else, because of that level of training, then yeah, they may take a little bit more. So that's why I always try to explain it to the regular everyday people that, you know, I coach in CrossFit. It's like, hey guys, like if you're just coming in 3 days a week for a workout to stay healthy, like you can't do what professional CrossFit athletes are doing or ultra athletes are doing, you know, or marathoners are doing. Like it's not the same. Don't stop reading the magazines.
you're absolutely right. And, anyway, I didn't mean to turn this into an ad for Pure
Vitamin
Club.
It's not. This is education. It's about essential vitamins and nutrients. It's about how to plug them into the lifestyle. So, yeah, I happen to be plugging your product right now, but only because your product makes sense. That's why I like it.
Yeah, and, you know, we are, I don't know if Andy mentioned, but we are looking at some other stuff coming out. The B12 we've been working on for forever. And I don't know how deep Andy got in with you on the B12.
He did. Obviously, you can't share all the trade secrets, but I mean, I geek out a little bit on this stuff because I found through you and other podcasts like Dave Asprey and Abel James. I follow all them too and their podcasts. Yeah. But I love the whole biohacking thing. I don't know if I'm a biohacker or not. I mean, that's a weird term, but I'm always trying to hack things. So I love it when I can hear more about the science because a lot of us are just blindly taking vitamins off the shelf.
Yeah.
So let's not, this is no longer, you know, we're not worried about plugging just your product. I think it's important that what Andy did on the episode is he discussed a lot of the science and a lot of the research that he had to go from being a film industry guru to being an unofficial vitamin supplement manufacturing guru because you guys had to study all this crap. So it's crazy.
And not only us, but, you know, we live very close to Amgen, which is one of the biggest drug companies on the planet.
Oh, yeah. I know that name.
And I happen to know a couple of scientists and a couple of researchers from Amgen. So we built this kind of impromptu group of scientists that we can go to and say, okay, how can we make this work? And how can we make this a real thing? And that's how, you know, that's our dirty little secret, that we have access to these scientists.
Well, I mean, this goes back to just business 101. If you don't know something, change your surroundings. Bring in people, create inner circles, right, mastermind groups, whatever it is, and start asking people that know more than you.
I'm not a biochemist, and Andy certainly isn't. And so we went to people. We said, is this possible? Can we do this? And we said, don't worry about the manufacturing part. Let us worry about that. So after they helped us derive the formula we wanted, we would go to the manufacturers and they would say, well, there's no way we can do this. I don't know if Andy mentioned it.
Oh, yeah. And it's also been on a few of your podcast episodes. I love it when you guys rant about it. But yeah, he said the same thing. It's like, it's hilarious when people say there's no way in hell you could do this. My answer to that is it because you just never tried?
Yeah. You know, and that's usually, and they won't answer that question when we ask them. They'll just say, you can't do it. And they'll start yelling at us. One guy yelled at Andy, and Andy and I talked about it later that day. And we started smirking because we knew that when they tell us it can't be done, if we can do it, then we will be the only proprietary brand on the market doing as such. And again, we spend a lot of money. Scott, my attorney, guy who brought me to pick up my new Corvette yesterday, he spends a lot of time getting stuff nailed down with the government so that we own these products and you know, the proprietary parts of them. By the way, I don't know if I ever got to the end of that story. That was the end of the story. It was kind of a coming around of getting my car back.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I
really getting your life back. That was like the closing chapter, right? Of like your life has returned. You've healed. You survived cancer. Boom.
Yeah.
Let's get that car back, man. You got through the financials, the rebuilding.
And by the way, this might be a car that I never sell. I sometimes hang on to cars. I still have my first car that I paid $700 for.
What is that? I never heard that.
It's a 1971 Cougar convertible that I bought from a hairdresser secondhand. And I think her boyfriend tried to kill her because there was some buckshot in the driver's side door as she was trying to drive off. I never asked. But my dad taught me how to Bondo when I was a kid. And my dad knows how to work on cars and stuff.
I've done a little Bondo in my day.
Yeah. Back in the day, kids would Bondo. Oh, now yeah. It's like, oh, my kid has allergies to peanuts. But, you know, we would get high from that Bondo. And I Bondoed the car. And my dad helped me skeet it, as they call it. He helped me spray it. My dad's pretty good at painting.
Oh, yeah. No, the farm that my dad moved us to in Pennsylvania when we were kids, I mean, one of the separate outbuildings, kind of like a mini barn, like him and his buddy converted it into almost like a little mini auto body shop. So I got to go in there all the time and just watch them basically restore my dad's old pickup truck and learn all that stuff. So it was cool.
Yeah, so that car still sits in the barn. So I have that one. Still have the Camaro that my dad bought me when I got a scholarship to go to college. He bought me a brand new car. That car is still around. Don't drive it. It sits in a barn. You know, when you have barn space, I'm from Louisiana on the bayou, and we have barns.
Oh, so you have them down there.
Yeah, they're not here in California.
Okay.
I did keep my other car here, the little FJ Cruiser, because I think that thing is going to become a classic.
Oh, so that photo, I found that photo online. You were posing with that really cool, that company, the guy who's doing those custom iPhone cases for you, Savage Solutions.
Yeah.
Savage Life Solutions, whatever it is. Yeah, I saw that photo. I'm like, I wonder if that's his cruiser, because you got the tire cover, NSNG, and everything else.
Yeah. I had to take that tire cover off. It's back to the original tire cover.
Okay.
Because people... Man, this is going to make me sound like the world's biggest effing douchebag, but
keep it real. Go ahead.
I drive that car on a daily basis. I love that. That car's got like 110, 12,000 miles on it, something. And I love that car. And I take it off road and I take it to Mammoth with me. And people started recognizing me in the car because of the popularity of the internet. People on the freeway, I would start getting honked at. And I was like, why are they honking at me? And they would come up beside and go, hey, Vinny, hey, Vinny. And I was like, who are you? And they're like, NSNG. And I'm like, oh, geez.
Yeah. And it happens. It's okay.
Yeah. So I go to the same 24-hour fitness, and the tire cover, people realized who I was in the gym, the trainers. And, you know, over months and months, they would come up to me and go, hey, man. And I go, yeah, what's up? And they would go, you're Vinny, right? And I would go, yeah. Yeah. And the first couple of times it happened, I thought they were going to go, your membership is up and you need to go downstairs, you know, and straighten it out or whatever. And I go, yeah, yeah, what's up? And they would go, oh, I read your book and I want you to know I'm not one of those bad trainers. I'm a good trainer. And I was like, all right, man, good job, man. Keep helping people. And, you know, that happened enough. And then someone followed me into Wells Fargo one day because I was getting out of my car and I was trying to go into Wells Fargo to do some banking.
They followed you into your bank?
Yeah. And, you know, I saw them standing there and they were staring at me. And when I got done with the teller, I got the excuse me and this and that. And I said, you know what? I'm not even a celebrity. And I'm causing it, because she even said, I saw the tire cover in your car and I it looked like you, and you followed me in my bank. I mean,
yeah, I could see why that creates a little weirdness.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not a celebrity, and you know, I don't need, you know, that's not my thing. I don't need to be noticed, and I'm glad a fan made this car cover, this tire cover. But it was causing me a lot of trouble. So I took it off.
I would have done the same thing.
And needless to say, I haven't had a problem since.
Well, good. well, I mean, here's the thing. Kudos to building your brand enough where people recognize things like NSNG or the perimeter of the tile cover. Probably, I think I had Fitness Confidential, the podcast under the book. So that just means your marketing was working. But yeah, it's okay if eventually you want to have some privacy and you want to step out of the limelight. I mean, it's kind of cool that's what we were talking about earlier about marketing. It's like, okay, dude, your stuff was working because now people are recognizing you, so you might need to unplug a little bit.
Well, yeah, and I think most of the recognition started coming. I've been on Adam Carolla's show every other week, so twice a month for the past like 15 months.
The Carolla effect.
Yeah, so the Carolla effect. And a lot of people in Hollywood listen to that show. And then they go look me up, and then they, you know, so that's when that really started happening. It started happening about it. So I've been doing this for 4.5 years, and it really started happening after the Carolla effect. So it really has nothing to do with me. It has more to do with that.
Well, he is like, I believe he does hold the record of the most successful podcast ever. So I can understand.
Yeah,
there is going to be a Carolla effect.
Millions of downloads per show. And look, it's obvious. I mean, he's got a whole warehouse full of Paul Newman's old race cars. Like, literally a warehouse full of them.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, and he's a really good guy, and I'm really glad that he likes what I do, you know, and has me on and invites me to stuff. You know, like his red carpet events. And we just did a charity event that, you know, Lynette invited me to. And so it's all good. But then, you know, the good side of that is my brand gets bigger. The bad side is I got to take a car cover off of my car. So, okay, I'll live with that. You know, I'm not going to cry over that.
Yeah.
You know, it's all good.
Well, God, I mean,
I'm a douchebag.
It's you're not a douchebag. Trust me. I've met I when I was firefighting in Arizona, and that's where our base was. I'd take days off and go down to Scottsdale. Wow, there's a lot of douchebags there. There's a lot of good people too. I have friends that still live out there. But when you go out on a Friday or Saturday night to some of the clubs in like downtown Scottsdale, I was like, wow, man, this is pretty bad. So it's okay. You're not there.
And you know what? I wish that I had this kind of recognizable stuff when I was young and kind of out there, you know.
Yeah.
it kind of happened. I'm 54. I'm an old dude, you know, and it's happening for me now. And I guess the cool thing is that I don't know if I could have handled it when I was young. So maybe it's a good thing that things didn't happen for me when I was young.
Yeah.
But, man, cancer was a, you want to talk about taking lemons and making Kool-Aid or whatever they say.
A lemonade, you know, yeah.
It's, that's really been pretty, pretty neat for me. And I'm able to now help more people than just the lady who cleans my house and the guy who clips my lawn. You know, I have people hired, you know, Buzz and Andy and I have become business partners. Wow, a friend for 26 years, you know, is now my business partner. And Anna makes it a chunk of change.
Well,
and
that's the best part. Like, you all are working together to rise each other up. Like, I'm a huge, so even though, like, yeah, you've years spent in the fitness space, you kind of joke around about it, but it's okay. Like, you don't like the whole business side of it. You just want to do what you love to do, and that's it. Me, I've got a lot of business background, and I've learned that now over the past few years. Like, it is all about what you love to do. And if you start this in your part time, your free time, and you start getting in the time to start focusing on that, maybe you help somebody else rise up first. Like how we organized you coming on the show. It was like, listen, I want Anna to come on your show first. Let's help her with the Eat Happy book sales, right? Which, by the way, literally, we were opening her cookbook last night to test out a deviled eggs recipe. So I was like, okay, that's cool. Like, I have the digital book, I have the physical book. I also ordered two extra copies for other friends and family. So it's like, we're helping her blow herself up. And now you being able to work together with Andy and create a company that is going to create a legacy in the health and wellness sector. I truly believe that. Like, that's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, Anna, you know, she came to me and said, you know, can I use, or can you sell me NSNG to put on the book and make it a complete NSNG book? And I said, well, yeah, we could do that, but I would tell you not to. And she goes, well, why? And I said, well, because I think you can do your own branding from this. You know, you don't have to be tied to my hip on all of this. And I think it was the right move for her, because Eat Happy, that cookbook, is, I mean, it's basically NSNG. I think there's a couple of recipes where there's some sugar in them. You know,
she said, listen, it's a cookbook. You have to sell it with like a dessert section, or else it's not a real cookbook. So I get it. You know, it's like she had to struggle a little bit there.
And it wasn't really a struggle, because we really feel like, you know, there's a time and a place to enjoy a dessert. And I say we, but it's her. But I agreed with her, do that. You know, put some desserts in there. And I'm so happy that she did. You know, so good on her.
On the flip side, though, just so before we started the show, I searched her book just to see how it was doing. And right. She's got 356 customer reviews on Amazon. And then so I do that, because I don't have this on my website yet, but you have the whole Amazon click through. So for my listeners, if you go check out VinnyTortorich.com, you'll see like a little Amazon. I'm going to give you a little plug here. Like, literally, for guys that are starting podcasts and online businesses, like, when you see someone's Amazon banner on their website, this little business marketing tip, do them a favor and use that. If you love them, like, click through their banner, because they get a little tiny taste, a little tiny percentage. It doesn't increase your cost. But instead of just going to Amazon directly, go through somebody that you care about who has a link through, and they might get a little kind of a little commission, a little lead off of that. But more importantly, when you scroll down on her book, Vinny, they have that section where it says frequently bought together.
Right.
It says Eat Happy plus Fitness Confidential plus the obesity code. So
yeah.
Amazon already knows through their algorithms that when they find their book, usually it's probably people coming from you or vice versa. So they're feeding off each other. And, you know, you're hooking up the man from the obesity code, Jason Fung, who I found thanks to you as well. And I also own his book. So I never would have learned about him. That's one thing that part of me getting you on this show today was not just to get everybody to learn about all the different brands you have going on and what you're doing, because I think what you're doing is awesome. But your show was awesome. That's why it's on my e-guide, because I have found more doctors and more researchers and more books to read thanks to the people that you bring on your show. And that's the power of podcasting. It's education. It's not just entertainment. We're actually being educated. But the beauty of your show, and probably with the profanity on mine now from today as well, is that, hey, it's not just educational. It's also you're getting a little entertainment while you're at it.
Yeah. And look, I just went to my Fitness Confidential book, and I'm looking at the Kindle version. Customers who bought this item also bought Eat Happy. I'm going in order as to how they Eat Happy, The Obesity Code, The Complete Guide to Fasting. That's a Jason Fun book.
Yep.
And then my buddy, Gary Taubes, who's coming back on my show again for like the third or fourth time.
Oh, sweet.
Why We Get Fat and What to Do About It. And then check this out. Adam Carolla, President Me. Adam Carolla, Daddy Stop Talking. Tim Noakes, who's been on the show two or three times. These are all books associated with when you buy my book, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I scrolled
Sylvia
down just
Taro,
like you just did here. I've got the
Secret Life of Fat.
I didn't know he had Gary Taubes had the book The Case Against Sugar. I didn't even know that. I just found that now. So
that book is coming out. We just did a podcast. I told him I'd put it out closer to when the book comes out towards the end of this month. But every one of Adam Carolla's books is in this queue. Most people who I've had, and by the way, this woman Sylvia Tara, The Secret Life of Fat, she was just one of my Friday people a few weeks ago. And I got a really nice email from her saying, because, you know, her publicist and everyone said, oh, you got to go on this guy Vinny's show and the whole thing. And she wrote to me, and went, oh, my God, my pre-sales are off the charts and they're all coming from your show.
Yep.
I had no idea because, you know, everyone thinks, oh, you got to get on Dr. Oz or something to sell a book.
No, you don't.
And in fact, you know, you just have to get on my show.
Yeah.
Well,
because
weird,
didn't you also have, Nina Teicholz, the Big Fat Surprise.
Nina Teicholz.
Yes.
Yeah. Her book is called,
The Big Fat Surprise.
Big Fat Surprise. Or as I called her, Gary Taubes with a vagina. She loves that. She loves that. And Gary loves that.
I love
they
it.
Both get a big kick out of that.
All great books. I own them almost, I'd say 95% of what you just said, I have them all on my Audible account because I travel so much. I love listening to Audible in my car. I don't listen to the regular FM radio. I listen to podcasts and audiobooks all the time. That's it. So,
well, you know, look, one of the coolest things I've been able to do was start the Vinny Book Club. You know, if you go to vinnybutteries.com and just look in the book club.
Been there.
It's in there. You can, there it is.
Well, actually, it's like you're the only one that I know that does that. And most of these books, almost every single author, I think that you've brought on your show, you eventually add them to the book club, right?
Yeah, and it's automatically an Amazon link, so people don't have to figure it out. They just click on it. It's an Amazon link. It takes them right to buying the book. And I don't know if anyone else is doing it. My mom was a librarian for 38 years.
Ah, okay.
I love to read. Everyone in my family loves to read. I write books. I don't know if you know this, but Fitness Confidential was actually my second book.
No, I didn't know that.
Little known fact, I wrote a children's book called Monty. And it was about a little girl and a horse. And that book did quite well for itself.
You just taught me something new. I thought I knew everything about you, man, just from me following you over the past 2 years.
Yeah, well, Monty's out of print and it's not talked about, but I think somebody was telling me they bought a copy on eBay for like $50. I went, wait a minute. I might have a box of those hanging around.
There you
somewhere.
Go.
Yeah, I can get rich.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I love it. Sell an old book from your old days. Why not?
Yeah.
If it's good. Well, yeah.
And by the way, that was part of why Dean Laurie knew I could write because his kids had read Monty and he liked my writing style and thought we can write together. You know, okay. So it wasn't like, oh, yeah, he knew a big time writer producer and the guy just wrote the book for him. And, you know, that wasn't what happened at all.
Well, you know? I could tell you one thing. It's all about. Like it's just like exercise, right? You want to get some better at something. Number one, you have to focus on form and technique in the beginning, but it also comes through repetition. You have to practice it. So, okay, great. You already had that one book. Now you just need a little extra guidance and something a little bit more inspiring and motivational to really push you to write that book. And that's what I think so many people are confused because when they see the book, and then I remember reading a couple of your reviews and I thought these people were boneheads because like dude, it's not always about, okay, yeah, I'm going to teach you the inner world of the gym world and what bad trainers are versus good trainers and what good certifications are versus bad certifications. It's like, dude, give them a little story, man. Like the whole, your struggle with cancer and everything else, it's a full package. That's why I really liked that book, because it surprised me. I didn't know until I started listening to it. I'm like, oh man, I'm getting a bunch of his backstory. Cool. So that's like a bonus for me. That's why I love the book.
Yeah, like I said, we wrote, you know, they say dance like no one's looking. We wrote a book as if no one would ever read it. And
lo and behold,
that turned out to be this weird winning combination. And by the way, you probably know the story better than I do at this point. It was literally every book company said, we will give you a two-book deal if you turn it into two books. Not every, two of the bigger ones did that. And I said, no, this is the book. You know, you're welcome to change it just a bit here and there, but this is the book.
Yeah.
Now go.
And you guys end up being one of the earlier, well, other people have done it, but now more and more nowadays, because I've been studying the whole writing a book thing, considering it myself. And it's interesting because you're one of the earlier people that have proven that you can self-publish.
Yeah, at full price. Well, you got to make that distinction, because some people's like, this guy sold 200,000 books, but they're 99 cents.
Yeah.
Right. We sold a book that, look, I mean, my buddy Howie Mandel got on to the New York Times bestseller list by selling 6,000 books. And I'm pretty sure the book he wrote never sold more than 10,000 copies. I think Adam Carolla told me only one of his books have gone past 100,000 copies.
Oh, so, wow.
And, you know, I'm bragging, but my book has gone way past 100,000, you know, and I don't have a publisher. And when my agent went to try to get a publisher to do my second book, they still didn't want to give me the money that I deserve as a guy who sold hundreds of thousands of books.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, okay, you guys can keep your money. Of course, your business is failing. Good luck with that. But I shall now go off and do what I did before, just do it again, because that's an easier way to make a buck. You guys are making it way too difficult, you know?
And it is. It's like some people, plus you cared about your message and the content you put out there. And I mean, I don't want to dwell on this because I know you've got a heart out here in a few minutes, because you got another call you got to do, but I think it's important.
Yeah, I have 4 minutes.
That's like a part of the closing message on my end that I want to make sure people understand here is like, there's been a lot shared on today's show, but if you truly believe in your brand and your messaging and you've got tons of people pumping steam behind you and pushing you forward, don't sacrifice. I mean, granted, it costs money to self-publish a book. I mean, it's not going to be cheap, but if you don't want your message being tainted, then do it yourself.
Yeah. And that's what we did. And Dean and I, you're right. We did it right. And it did cost us a lot of money. We took a chance. But that's the other thing. If you truly believe what you're doing in life, we took a chance on us. And we split the money right down the middle. It cost close to $15,000, $14,000 something. And we both took $7,000 of our own money, stuck it into an account, and went, okay, Thelma and Louise, we're just jumping off of this cliff.
Man.
And you know,
that's buy-in right there. It's like, hey, man, you either believe in it, you're going to do it or not. You got to throw some cash in. There it is.
Man up. You know, we just manned up. And and by the way, Scott, before I go, I want to thank you for having me on. And I'm not just saying this to say it. I like you, man, and I'll come back anytime you have me.
You're more than welcome, because I really want to. I don't want to direct the episodes, but the knowledge you've gained from the people you brought on your show, and we discussed the value and the importance of helping people understand more about, you know, the whole ketogenics and everything else and ketosis and all of that. Like, that's a whole different show, but I would love to get into a little bit more of that, because I also incorporated in intermittent fasting and obviously everything else we discuss on that. That's a whole different show.
Yeah, let's do it again. I'm sorry that we kind of, I douched out, you didn't, and I kind of controlled the conversation. But let's do it again and give people something they can go with.
Yeah. Well, trust me, we did today too. And so for your benefit, to also respect your time here, because we're down to like 2 minutes, but I want to give my audience the value of your final words. So my co-host gets to close the show out. I mean, besides my closing notes, but what is a final message that you would, a simple message that you want to make sure that our audience knows about you or what you care about? Like, some people just leave it with a quote. Other people just say, hey man, you know, keep life simple. Stop screwing it up. I don't know. Is there anything that you would like to close out on as far as your final message or final words?
Yes. I wrote about it in my book. I talk about it all the time. Whenever I coach up younger kids on how to become successful in life, I call it taking the garbage out. And it's a metaphor for, you know, not making something someone else's problem. Make it your problem. And taking the garbage out simply means, you know, when I was a kid, if you opened the cabinet and the garbage can was full, most kids would just try to teeter that pop bottle on top and then close it and make it someone else's problem.
Yep.
In life, if you see something needs doing, don't wait until someone else is watching you do it. Just quietly take the garbage out. Never go to your brothers and sisters or anyone else and go, well, I took the garbage out yesterday and I cleaned. Just do it. Do it. Get it done. And when you take the garbage out on enough things in life, when you do things that people aren't looking at, you're not looking for accolades, you're just doing your thing, at the end of the day, you will become successful. I'm absolutely convinced of that. So that's what you need to do.
Well said. Well, there you go, guys. That's Vinny Tortorich. I think he closed out with the most powerful message of all, which is, and I'm going to translate it, be accountable. All right. So that's Live the Fuel. That's another killer episode of Vinny Tortorich. Make sure you check him out. All of his domain, website links, and everything else are in the show notes. Again, we're here to fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle. Keep living the fired up, epic life. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up, epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.